Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you to a time of encouragement, to a time that you, me, Pat, and all of our listeners are saying, Jesus, your ways are important. You are our Lord. We want your perspective of what's going on in the world today. And great is your name. Give a shout out this morning and a happy birthday to Barbara.
Happy birthday, Barbara.
Good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio Live this morning. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Just want to give you a shout out this morning and say, hey, be encouraged. It is Thursday. Can you believe it? This time just flies. I've never seen a year. Have you ever seen a year move so quickly?
No.
And we say that every year. I don't know if it could be the age that you are or the...
the age I am?
You know, I had lunch with Derek. You know, Derek's going to be with us tomorrow, Derek Rice. And I can't wait for our listeners to meet Derek. And he was a young man with us when we were doing the prophetic out in the wilderness, a Malachi prophecy of turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. Through the next step, father and son camping trips. And although he was young in heart, he still was 6'4".
He was huge.
And he's got an awesome gift of lyrics and all. But anyway, he said, you know, in our meeting, he said, you know, I just want to see how much gray hair Pat has now.
Now, how do you know that?
I don't know. Honestly, I believe, I can't remember. Well, I take the Fifth. We're going to talk about the Fifth Amendment soon.
Right. How could he see past your silver locks glistening in the light?
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I got a haircut, then and Jared, my son, goes, Dad, your hair's getting great. I said, Son, that's you.
That's you. Okay, Every one of these, man.
I'm just glad they're hanging on, you know what I mean?
Amen. And
nothing personal. I got good friends that the hairs aren't hanging on. Oh, my goodness. Again, I want to give a shout-out this morning to Barbara in Spring, Texas. We love you. We're just excited to be able to celebrate your birthday with you. Also, we want to give, you know, an encouraging word to Pam. Pam, we want to let you know we love you. We're praying for you. And, you know, don't believe the report of men. Just focus on the prize. Focus on what God's called us to do. And me personally, I'm a testimony of that. And just watch God do what he does. If we take care of his, he takes care of ours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we love you. We're praying for you. Our faith is locking in there. Be strong and courageous. Well, you know, the voice of the Lord. Do you know, if you have never perceived the voice of the Lord, because the Lord's always speaking, but if you sit back and you say, well, you know, the Lord never really speaks to me, available on VFNTV.com to all of our free subscribers, which you can subscribe for free at VFNTV.com, is the voice of the Lord. And understanding the voice of the Lord. And so we talk about all the things that we learn in the Word of God about how God spoke. And when God speaks, you know, things begin, you know, things that are not. God speaks and then they become, you know, and it doesn't matter what your conditions or your circumstances is. Normally God speaks into the opposite. You're living in the opposite of what he's about to say. And then he speaks an opposite encounter and then he brings it to pass.
Right.
You know, when he speaks into a dry place, he can cause streams to begin to flow.
That's right.
And if we don't know that, a lot of times we'll look around and go, well, where must have been for somebody else? Because I'm drinking bitter water right now, and I don't see any milk or honey that he's talking about. But there's a process that we go through, and I encourage you, you need to really, if you haven't, it was just going to encourage you. Not only are we going to talk about, you know, am I going to talk about some what the Word of God's saying, but the Lord's speaking today, right now, this moment, and we have to perceive it. He says, though I'm speaking, you know, many people don't even hear him, what he's saying and how he's saying it. You know, as Americans, you know, quite often, you know, the large portion of America just thinks that, you know, God's just going to speak in words or English.
Right.
You know, but a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Right.
And it's worth 1,000 words. It's amazing that you could see a picture and your heart could fill with joy or your heart can faint. I mean, just off of a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because when somebody says elephant, for example, the word elephant, I mean, most people don't see the letters that spell the word elephant. They see an elephant,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we actually think in pictures. And mm-hmm. so God will give you dreams, you know, and he will show you a picture that's worth 1,000 words, and then he'll speak to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that we've already seen happen in America and society, things we haven't even seen in our local areas of where the VFN-TV studios are at, that we had a chance to be able to speak to leaders about what God was saying, and you know, one of them is the former county administrator George Tuart, that was a county mm-hmm. administrator of Escambia County, a good man. And I remember walking into the court. I would say courtroom because they're set up like court now. You go to the county yeah. commissioners in the area, in our area,
right?
That you know, and coming formally from, you know, my father was one, and they kind of sit on these high benches. You go in there, you feel like you're going into like the chief justice.
Yeah, it looks like thrones.
Yeah, right. And nothing personal about that. I mean, they're, you know, and so, but it just feels that way when you go in there. So when I walked in, and I sat on the front row of it, and the court reporter came over to me, and she's talking to me. And then the county administrator stands up, and he leans over that high bench,
mm-hmm.
and he says these exact words. You didn't have a dream, did you?
Oh, wow.
And then what he's saying is, really, you know, are you fixing to tell us something that we need to know?
Mm-hmm.
And I did, actually. I delivered what the Lord has shown me, and it came to pass. Mm-hmm. It came to pass. And the court reporter, the one who documents everything, you know, she's a witness to it. She's documenting it,
mm-hmm.
that it happened. Of course, I was talking, you know in part and you prophesy in part, but you have to obey the Lord. You wish that you would be more authoritative when you deliver a word,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's just so difficult sometimes to just lay it out there. But I'm getting better at it, you know.
Yes, you are.
And so, because you want people to know and respond, and that God loves us, and God has a plan for us, and God wants to bless us. He wants to bless your economy in your community. He wants to bless your leaders. He wants them to give them wisdom. He has good plans in store for those that are his. And so it's not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. But sometimes he's telling us that we're doing some negative behaviors, or we're thinking the wrong thoughts or something, and he just wants to change us,
mm-hmm.
have us, you know, repent. He wants us to turn from that, and then, boom, he just blesses us.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, look at the people that God has used. I mean, all the way from Rahab and Jacob and all the people. We're not nobody's perfect,
mm-hmm.
but they're repenting. They just go, okay, God, you're right. You're right. And speaking of that, and so in that, then also in the voice of the Lord, you know, understand the voice of the Lord, which you can get on VFNTV.com or on your app, by the way, I believe. No, you got to go to VFNTV.com, be a subscriber first. Is that I'll talk about at the very end some actual encounters where God spoke to me, and then I talk about how it happened. And you can actually know and look and research that's exactly what happened. And then I'll talk about how God spoke and then how it happened,
mm-hmm.
different ways that he had spoken. And he's still speaking today, by the way, and we're going to be telling more about that. And you can see some of it on the VFN-TV blog under Prophecies, Dreams, and Visions.
Mm-hmm.
There's several of us that are hearing, God's people that are hearing. But he is saying some very specific things right now, and we want to deliver them to you. But one is your son, you know, mm-hmm. Jonathan, we'll be playing really soon. We'll have it for you, of him actually sharing it. but he had a dream five times about one particular topic. And, you know, quite often when we think, well, that's for so-and-so because they had the dream. Well, no, God will actually give a prophetic dream to a person. And then that person will deliver it. And sometimes it can have single meaning to you. It can have double meaning to you and to someone else. And sometimes it can have total meaning to someone else. But mm-hmm. it should be applied that way. First, look at yourself. Mm-hmm. Then look at yourself and someone else. And then, you know, progress out from that, asking God and checking in the word. But in the dream, it was the same as David, my grandson, had. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I have David. I was riding in the truck with David. And he's 10. And Jonathan's 11. And, well, vice versa.
Yeah.
And, actually, they're both. They're both 10. David's oh, okay. 10. He's, yeah, they're both 10. And with that, he's telling me. You're riding down the road. He's telling me about his dream. Mm-hmm. And I pull my phone. I said, man, you got to tell me this. So let's just first just listen what he says. So he's listening. And I guess it's kind of a little backwards how he's telling it, because he's looking in his Bible as we're riding down the road. Because we did a word search, because in the dream he talked about that there was a wide road and there was a real narrow road. Mm-hmm. And he was riding a Corvette, of course. A red Corvette.
Of course. I mean,
God knows how to speak a 10-year-old's language. Right. And so in that, he was not taking that wide open road with the Corvette. He was driving, by the way, at 10.
Yeah.
I said, what was the payments on the car? He goes, what? I said, did you put gas in it? He said, no. I said, oh, my goodness. You just don't get it. And so he looks it up, and then he finds it. And so now he's going to be reading. So he'll start off reading the scripture that he found, but then he'll talk about the dream, and then I'll come right back. But listen to this. Okay, now listen to this.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So tell me about your dream. You had a dream. What was the dream?
It was, I was driving this Corvette.
A Corvette.
Yeah. And
we'll pick up that in just a moment on there. And he's talking about he's riding in a Corvette, and with that, he hold on, here it is right here.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my goodness, that is so neat. Jonathan too was God was talking to him too, right? You just got off the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
God's talking to you guys.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Well, kind of broken up right there. We'll get that for you and play the whole little segment. But he was having the dream, and in the dream, he said that like I said, he was looking for that narrow road, and as a matter of fact, let me do something. I'll be right back. I want you to hear firsthand. We'll come right back. You know, when you think about, you know, ministry's been so redefined. The word ministry mm-hmm. means servant,
right?
You're a servant.
I would have thought.
You're a servant. You serve. That's why when you're a minister, you don't mind getting up and pouring coffee. You don't mind, you know, teaching if you got to teach. You don't mind, you know, serving somebody at a table. It's just, that's what you do. You serve. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Even Jesus got up and he served the disciples. He served the disciples. Mm-hmm. And one time, another time, he washed their feet. And yeah. He said, go and do likewise. Ministry, believe it or not, and you look what ministry's been turned into in America. It's a servant. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think about it, it's a powerful move of God coming to America. We're believing for a third great awakening. You know, just like we said earlier, and how Peter Wagner, you know, agrees with it, that the hope for America is a rapid church planting movement that changes the DNA of a country, of the country.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. We have it for you. Here we go. We finally found it. Here you go. This is David. He's 10 years old. He's my grandson. And he's going to be talking about a dream that he had, because the Lord speaks to us. Hold on one second.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So tell me about your dream. You had a dream. What was the dream?
It was, I was driving this Corvette.
A Corvette?
Yeah. And, I saw this, wide path, and I didn't want to take the wide path, so I took the narrow path.
What's the word to say about the narrow path down there?
Narrow path. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So you were taking the right path, aren't you? Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. That is so neat. Jonathan, too, God was talking to him, too, right? You just got off the phone with him?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
God's talking to you guys.
Yes.
Bye.
That is so awesome because you have a two 10-year-olds that are hearing from the Lord, and we're just watching them talk to each other. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, David and Jonathan were beginning to compare their dreams and what God was saying to them. And God's speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And right now, believe it or not, you know, that there's a lot of religious people who are on the wide road,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's how you can justify being on the wide road is being, you know, religious. And versus being saved and being with Jesus, right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And here he is talking, and five times God gave that dream and a variation of that to Jonathan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jonathan, they're talking back and forth. These two 10-year-old boys are talking about the voice of the Lord. But yeah, I talked to ministers who've been in the pulpit for years, and they say they haven't heard the voice of the Lord.
Mm.
You know, I remember running into a restaurant. And there was a particular minister that was just, the whole church was kind of dropped in his hands for a short period of time because everybody left,
mm-hmm.
because they were going to go somewhere. And he was preparing for a message. He was going to be speaking to the people that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I haven't heard. I don't know. It's been so long since I heard from the Lord.
Oh my God.
And you're talking, you know, maybe, you know, 500 to 1,000 people were going to hear from somebody who hasn't heard from the Lord.
Wow.
And 10-year-olds are hearing from the Lord. And right now in America, there's a wide, it's not normal. It is average, but it's not normal. If you are leading God's people, if you are a Christian, period, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have made him the Lord of your life, he's your shepherd and his sheep know his voice.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's a day that's coming that you will hear the voice of the Son of Man and you'll live, which means if you don't hear him, you don't know him,
right.
But sometimes you can be hearing him, but you don't know it's him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's speaking to you and you know, you're in your head a lot, you know, and you're mind thinking and you're thinking that's you, but you're actually taking credit for that particular thing.
Right.
I'm sure God's very patient because he's probably laughing for about a couple years after you think that was you coming up with that great thought.
Yeah, right.
You know, or that, you know, I'm sure God's not telling me to get my life straight. That couldn't be. And, but two 10-year-old boys, I'm watching them talk back and forth on the phone because David is calling Jonathan and he's going, now, listen, I need to know, did you take the wide road? Or did you take the narrow road? I need to know this, you know?
Yeah.
And what color was the car you were in?
Right.
I was in the red Corvette. I mean, God just speaks, right? And so mm-hmm. we're pulling up, you know, to a traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
And David and I are in my truck, and we're riding, and we stop. And right in front of us, while these two boys are just finished talking on the phone to each other, clarifying the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. We've gotten so far away from the way the Lord speaks that nobody understands that Joseph would not have married Jesus outside of a dream. You know, Joseph would not have married Mary outside of a dream. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Little, yeah, right. That was so funny. Joseph did not marry Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Right.
This is not a good season.
Right.
But it was in a dream when he was fixing to divorce Mary because his fiance came home and said, listen, you're not going to believe this. You know, but I'm pregnant, but there was no, I didn't have any, you know, and he's
right.
Like, he was very honorable. He's going to just go ahead and quietly just divorce her. And he had a dream, and the dream, he spoke to him, and he said, listen, this is of me. Don't lay with your wife until she gives birth, and his name shall be
Jesus.
And so, you know, in that here, the voice of the Lord, I mean, the Lord may be speaking to you over and over again, and he uses symbolism quite often in pictures because you could see, you know, something, and it could just make this huge impact on you. But very seldom are you going to get words, you know, because we all, no matter what our language is, our ultimate language are images or pictures we see. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see the strategy of the adversary is to get you to worship images, give you new images, new languages in your head, you know, where they speak words that creates images of fear in your life. They speak words that creates images of doubt and things not working out. Mm-hmm. And so you got to change all that. So 2 10-year-old boys are talking about the voice of the Lord. And I believe this is not just to these 10-year-old boys. It's to all of us.
Right.
That we have to hear it. God is shouting. You know, Joseph said to Pharaoh when he was interpreting his dream, there you go again. Mm-hmm. You know, God was giving Pharaoh, an evil man, a dream.
Right.
An evil man who thought he was a god.
Right.
A dream. But God used Joseph, you know, and to come interpret it. And he had two dreams. You know, one was a fat cow, skinny cow, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the droughts were coming. But long story short, Joseph said, because the Lord gave it twice, because he said it twice, mm-hmm. that it's definitely going to happen.
Right.
And right now, you know, we have a 10-year-old boy who, 2 10-year-old boys that has together mm-hmm. seen it six times.
Wow.
And, you know, it says in the Word of God, and I feel like we're here knowing, we're so out here knowing. Like, we're out there. I mean, we're like standing by the fiery furnace going, serve Jesus. You know, we know where we are. We've talked about it before we started. But we love God and love you enough to say, listen, take the narrow road. Mm-hmm. You know, go on without us. We're not going to. And with that many people, there'll be a great falling away. I know that you may have heard a doctrine that's different than the words of Jesus, but he says there'll be a great falling away. People can be led astray. It's like a, you know, it goes on and on and on again. And so if you've been taught something that you're so confident you can't be deceived, if you believe that, you've already been deceived.
Right.
Because the very Word of God brings that reality to us that creates a tension between the kindness and the sternness of God, which forces us to a place of humility before the cross, mm-hmm. that everything has to be checked by the Word. Everything has to be, even though it may have been right for a season, we got to be open to changing it. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't mind us eating crow in front of men.
No, he does not.
He's like, did you understand? I got a big plate of crow here and a big plate of crow here. And sometimes he will do that just because, you know, because whatever, he wants to see if you fear him. And sometimes we have to eat crow because we didn't stop and listen, mm-hmm. you know, or seek him first. And the difference between King Saul and King David was, which God appointed both of them and gave them the very same prophetic word. He spoke over them the very same destinies, was that Saul did not inquire of the Lord. He didn't abide with God, mm-hmm. and David abided.
Right.
He just spent time with God. And if you're not abiding with the Lord and you need some help in that, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. Go there, request your free abiding plan. Instantly it will come to you. This is not a good idea. It's not like, oh, you know, I'm just looking for a Bible study. You know, listen, Saul, you better, start abiding, because even though God said yes to you and you're in a place of leadership or you're a believer, there was a day that God said, I regretted the day that I ever made, chose him mm-hmm. to be king, because he failed to abide.
Right.
He failed to even inquire of me, to ask me what I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, David made all kinds of mistakes, you know, but he inquired of the Lord.
That's right.
He knew the mercies of the Lord. He would rather fall in the hands of the Lord than the hands of men. Saul was all worried about the hands of men, mm-hmm. you know, and if you have every man on your side, is it really worth it if God's not on your side?
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Isn't it better to have nobody on your side but God, if that's how it has to be?
Amen.
So I want to encourage you that this is a warning to us all, you know, that we need to check which road we're on. You know, there's a crowd mentality. There's, you know, hopefully we'll get that teaching up in VFN TV, on VFN TV, but, you know, about the herd, you know, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're if you ever worked with cows before, you know, or even sheep, that that if you put a new gate up, something new, because they're in that pen, in this big, you know, pasture, and they'll just come over there. The cows will come over and they'll just stare at the gate, and then another cow will come and stare at the gate that they're staring at, and then other cows on the other side or other sheep will go, you know, and then they'll go, and next thing you know, you got this whole crowd around there, and somebody was saying, this must be a move of God.
The gate,
you know,
changed.
Right. It's got to be a move of God. I mean, look at the herd, look at the crowd.
Mm.
And the reality is it started with a new PowerPoint. I mean, a new gate, you know, a new doctrine. Oh no, a new gate in the, you know, a new, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you first got to find out, you know, does it line up with the word of God? And that just because you're in a herd don't mean they heard the voice of the Lord, right?
That's right.
So I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, above all things, you know, you want to follow the Lord. And we've made, American gospel has made it so difficult and such a huge process to get saved. And it's not that, it's just, you just call on the name of the Lord. You say, here I am, you know, and you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord means he is your leader. He is your shepherd. You know, his ways I shall learn and follow him because I love him and he's right. It's not just words. It's actually, if you believe that the chair holds you, you sit in it.
Right.
If you believe your boss is going to pay you, you go to work.
That's right.
You know, if you believe that, you know, when you come out of the water from a deep dive, you're going to get big gusts of air, you fight your way to the top of the water to get a big, you know, gulp of air.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that Jesus is your Lord, you are intensely into his word and finding out what he wants and doing it because that's how we love him. Hear do's, as we talk about. You know, we do hear what he says, and we do it because he is the great shepherd, the shepherd of us all. And we can verify, and we always say verify even everything that anybody's saying, but verify as well as what we're saying. Check it out. Check it out. Check out the facts. Look in the word of God. There wouldn't be nothing that encourages us more to know that you went to the Bible, the Bible, you know, the Holy Bible.
Right.
You know, not the Book of Mormon, you know, not the Quran, but the Bible. And you looked and verified, you know, what we were saying. And I really believe that it's going to be an amen in your heart. And to check it out. You know, do your homework because you will have to answer for it alone. No witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God.
Right.
Well, today is the 12th of the month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about the wisdom moment. And today's wisdom moment is coming from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. We need wisdom. Right now, what you're looking at right now in America, it's just a lack of wisdom. I mean, there's some pretty, pretty smart people, but they're not wise, you know, and wisdom is crying in the streets. Proverbs 1 says, she's crying in the streets, and you can just see her crying in the streets, but so many people are ignoring the voice of wisdom. And right. It doesn't end well when you know, it seems good for a season, but at the very end, it just doesn't end well. And you can do that by washing yourself with a word of wisdom from taking Proverbs. Read one chapter a day. In addition to whatever else you're doing, or listen to it, just put it on some sort of audio device and just let it wash over you. So if it's the first of the month, listen to chapter one. If it's the second of the month, listen to chapter two, because it's 31 chapters. So it kind of fits with the longest month, and you can do a couple if you're in a short month. So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1 reads, whoever loves discipline, loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. You know, can you believe that? It's like,
wow.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
Imagine that.
Imagine that, you know. And so, I mean, the Bible's calling people stupid.
Something.
Of course, stupid means, you know, not, you know, stupid. Stupid is what stupid
does. Yeah, I was thinking the same.
Yeah. And so, but first of all, let's get discipline. What is discipline? Do we love discipline, you know? And whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And discipline is defined as the practice of training people to obey rules, behavior modification. For example, godly discipline is helping people modify their behavior to follow God's ways. Mm-hmm. You know, you're raising your children up and you use godly discipline on them. The purpose of it is not to get retribution for something. The purpose of it is in hopes that they would change their ways and go in the way that God would want. Mm-hmm. You know, right. You go to military training school, you know, go to boot camp, we call it, and they're going to discipline you. And their goal is to take you from a pile of mush, a pile of what you thought you were,
all right.
And then convert you to somebody who's disciplined, who has been trained to obey rules and to modify your behavior to line up with what the military is. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, you know, in Hebrews 12:5-11, he talks about it. It says, have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? You know, this is a family. Mm-hmm. God is our father. Jesus is not only our Lord and our Savior, but he's our eldest brother. He's the first one born into the family of God as a man and as all God, you know, but he did it perfectly because he did it. Now we can enter in. So we're family. And so you are a son of God. And he's talking here about sons and daughters. You're the offspring of God. And so he's saying, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've made him the Lord of your life, you know, that is who your father is, Father God. And we are joint heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So everything that is God's because of Jesus, we get from God with Jesus. That's huge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's called family.
Yeah.
Right. And so he says, and have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Oh, my goodness. The Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. I mean, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, God speaks and gives you maybe in a dream, maybe through your authority, who you're in relationship with. And it could be just somebody you don't even know. But when they deliver that word, it's just like, bam, you know, that's God.
Yeah,
oh, that
yeah.
is so God. And he said, don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. You know, discipline is going under, you know, vigorous training to learn how to obey. And so God is teaching us obedience, which is love. That's how we love God. Although mm-hmm. Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience from discipline. He learned obedience from what he suffered, mm-hmm. you know, and he cried out to the one who could save him from death. And in that, you know, once he walked through that, he became a source of eternal life. And God wants to make you a source under his son, Jesus Christ, to help other people. And you'll never become a source for anybody mm-hmm. until you're willing to understand the disciplines of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so he says, don't lose heart because of this, because the Lord, he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. He says, don't do that. And you go, okay, I'm not going to do that. Then he says, endure hardship as discipline. So when people are going, you know, you're hearing messages like, SOS, the Tale of Two Kings and VFN TV talking about, you know, where we are in the context of America prophetically. When you hear, you know, is America under judgment, which is also available on VFN TV. When you hear about the Elijah storm, I mean, what you're really hearing about is hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Hardship is coming. But when you get the right perspective is the love of God. God loves us enough not to let us go to hell.
Yeah, he does.
He loves us enough to take things from us. So the very thing that we refuse to let go of wouldn't be our God, and we would turn to him. He mm-hmm. loves us enough to allow things to happen to us that causes us to limp, so that the thorn in our flesh, you know, will keep us from getting prideful and losing the very thing. You know, preaching a kingdom that you yourself won't enter into. And many people did that in Matthew chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, endure hardship as discipline, because God's treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you are disciplined, if you are not disciplined, he says, and everyone undergoes discipline. Mm. So don't. It's not unique to anybody. No, many people misunderstand it. They say I need therapy because I'm going through hardship. It says no, you just need faith to realize that God's gonna. He can pull you through anything if you can stand the pull. Right. If you're not measuring where you are based off other people and understanding this is a thing between you and God. So this is your love for God. He says, and if you don't undergo discipline, everyone undergoes discipline. He says, then you are illegitimate children and not a true son. So in other words, if you don't get it, if you don't let it apply to you, you're not a son.
Right.
You know, and the enemy is really, I mean, it is so rampant. I really believe the reason why America, you know, our government and our agencies that we're funding that we need to unfund until they get it right is the way they are right now about discipline is because the church has left discipline. We've left understanding how God loves on us and gets us to a place of obedience, mm-hmm. you know, and so the church doesn't. We divert from discipline, mm-hmm. and now the world has got discipline upside down. Mm-hmm. So anytime you apply discipline, the world looks at it as a negative thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the church. I've seen a lot of people in the church, you know, do the very same thing that they don't want to be confronted about something. They don't want to. They're not willing to change, and it's like we all have to be moldable. And you know, it's pretty neat how it works. You know, God does awesome work. Powerful, authentic work. Many people get born in again in the kingdom, fall in love with him, but then he begins again and does another work. And it's almost always the old move of God always fights against the new move of God. Mm-hmm. It's like, at what point will we not?
When you get it?
When will we not get it? It's like, come on, you know, we got to be open to what God is doing. You know, when I think about, you know, Charles Seymour with the Azusa Street Revival, that, you know, he was, I think it was Parnham, was a spiritual father to him, and he trained him up, and then, you know, Charles Seymour became desperate for a move of God by himself in California in Azusa Street, and God began to move powerfully, and many things today are happening because one man was desperate for that, and you can find out more about that in studying about his life, but his spiritual father, you know, went across the street and opened up another ministry. That everybody that came out of his building, you know, he had deliverance for the people that came out. It's like, because people are getting filled with the Spirit, people are being baptized, and they would get a dialect. And in the dialect they would get, they were just sending them, say, that sounds Mandarin. You're going to go to China. You know? And then they would say, you know, that sounds Spanish. You're going to go to Mexico. I mean, they were just sending missionaries all around the place, you know.
Wow.
And we have some stories about that where, you know, a man shows up in Germany, and his interpreter didn't show up. And all of a sudden, God just touched him at that moment, and he began to speak not only fluent German, but the dialect of that particular people. And, you know, God could do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, come on. He can do anything. But then he says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son, for what son doesn't is not disciplined. And he goes on to say, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to God, our fathers, the father of our spirits, and live? You think about it. He said that if we don't undergo discipline, then we're not sons. How much more should we submit to that discipline? Because he's teaching us obedience. Are we going to walk in blatant disobedience to God and think that it's all going to end well? Mm-hmm. When God's going left, 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 we go, no, 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 no. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, don't think it's going to work, 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 you know, because Jesus is not your shepherd. He's not your Lord. To you, he's a good idea.
Right.
I'm a get out of hell free card, right? Mm-hmm. And I hope it works, but you know, Jesus' word contradicts that. It says, how much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our Father disciplines us for a little while as he sees best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace from those who have been trained by it. Mm. So there it is. When you think about it, he says, whoever loves discipline, this is the moment of wisdom, loves knowledge. We understand God. It's like, you know, it's not like, you know, somebody, they say, you know, may I have another? I mean, we don't ask for it, mm-hmm. you know. There's plenty of, if you pay attention, there's plenty of opportunities. If you're in, if you're obeying God, mm-hmm. you'll find areas of you that, that need discipline, and God will help you with that. You right. know, and working with people,
He will oblige you.
Right. But then he says, people who have a wrong perspective of this, mm-hmm. who, and you may have been listening to, you know, Dr. Spock, right? Is it Spock? I mean, it's been a while. Johnson and Johnson. There was one particular guy that wrote a book in the 60s that everybody started going with his way of raising kids. And it was just an all carnal, secular way of looking at things. And outcome-based education, just kind of go with the flow of the kid. Well, the flow of the kid is like sin, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, flee youthful lust, he talks about. And so discipline. And so, but he says, he who hates discipline, or he who hates correction, because obviously discipline is correction, mm-hmm. is stupid.
Right.
It's a stupid thing, and it doesn't end well mm-hmm. when we go, you know, I don't want to do that. Or, you know, that hurts too much, or it's going to cost me too much, or, you know, the wine factor. They say, you know, that, you know, a lot of believers don't drink wine, but they definitely do wine because they don't understand that that's God.
Right.
You know, you get to a point sometimes that you get tired of hearing yourself complain. Mm-hmm. It's like, why not just do what God wants you to do? You may find out that the world has been waiting on you. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today's word of wisdom is Proverbs 12:11. Whoever loves discipline, loves knowledge. But whoever hates correction is stupid. We'll be right back. I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys. Right,
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl, and so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life. Mm. And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this. Mm. But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan. For free, and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to,
right?
Because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or you've been, somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this,
mm-hmm.
they said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right.
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God, no witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studio is Pat Hamilton. Well, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the voice of the Lord. Make sure you become a free subscriber on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, or you actually can text the number, text the letters VFN, that's V Victor, VFN TV, to the number 22828 and go through a few processes, and you can subscribe just like that. Totally cool. Pretty cool. But 10-year-olds are hearing and discussing with each other the voice of the Lord. It's just so cool. We all, every one of us, are called to hear his voice. He loves you individually. Individually. It's personal salvation. It is not collective salvation. You're not saved because other people are. You're not saved because your parents are, your family is, or the people around you are saved. You're saved if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and you can hear his voice, and you follow none other. Well, I do want to say that yesterday, if you missed it, you've got to catch it in the highlights. Or you also can catch it on the VFN TV blog. I talked about the Fourth Amendment and the original intent. You want to be able to listen. We need to begin to soak ourselves, you know, in what our original intent of the Founding Fathers was with the Constitution. You know, we were able to really just kind of lax with it, you know, for a period of time, because, you know, everybody was kind of defaulting that they weren't going to change it. But now they're wanting to change the Constitution. Well, first, before you go, yeah, we could probably, you know, update it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find out what it says. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day, you know, around you, it's the very thing keeping the waters from drowning you. It's the very thing that's keeping, you know, tyrannical rule in your community, through your law enforcement, through your judges, through your legislature, through, I mean, it's a nation of laws, mm-hmm. and how things come to pass. And it's all very important. But I talked about the Fourth Amendment, which is unreasonable search and seizure. And mm-hmm. our stuff is being tapped into. Our Fourth Amendment rights are being violated, you know. And I come from a law enforcement perspective. You know, I've come, you know, from many years in law enforcement and going to court cases and listening. And I even had my leader, you know, Russ Sweeney, Captain Sweeney, would bring case law every single day to our meetings, and he would train us in case law. And I'm telling you, it's so important to understand what your rights are. And if we give up your constitutional rights are, if we let them change this thing, you know, just listen to it and you'll find out. And you can see it on, at the VFN TV blog or on your highlights there. It's called the Fourth Amendment, unreasonable search and seizure. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today about healthcare. I'm going to be talking, and Pat and I are going to be talking about what they're saying now. They're saying that now, because the IRS is the collection agency, basically your new insurance agent, you know, coming up, that you know, they can take your money from you, they mm-hmm. can seize your property from you, and they can lock you up in jail.
Wow.
If you don't buy health insurance.
Isn't that something?
And you're going to have to report it on your income tax that you actually have a health insurance policy. And we're going to talk more about that. And you're going to hear right straight from the legislature's mouth, you know, them saying, yes, they can seize your property, seize your bank accounts, and put you in jail for it, because it's a tax and failure to comply with this new tax increase to be able to pay for health care. It's the same penalties for, isn't that something?
Wow.
So catch that. You want to miss that in the extra hour. Okay. You know, I do want to say this, that when I was in the United States Navy, mm-hmm. and I was young and the frontal lobe of my brain had not fully developed. I was still young. And I was standing watch one day. I was in Norfolk, mm-hmm. Norfolk, Virginia. And it was cold. Oh, it was so cold. It's cold. Mm-hmm. I mean, you haven't seen cold. You've been on the water cold. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine the wind blowing across the water and your extremities are sticking out from your body, your ears and your nose and fingers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the wind's blowing. Somebody just thumps your ear. You feel like it would just shatter
break
and
off.
Fall, break off. You know, it was just cold. And I'm standing quarterdeck watch. And quarterdeck watch is, you know, that where the ship pulls up to a pier, then they have a brow, which is basically, imagine a board that goes from the ship to the pier. It's actually a nice little bridge-looking thing that they lay down, and you can go up and on the boat. Mm-hmm. And so the quarterdeck watch stands watch right there to be able to determine who's coming on the boat and who's going off the boat. If the captain's coming on board, you have responsibility. That I forget how many bells, but you grab a bell. For example, to say it's the USS Lexington. Mm-hmm. So you're standing watch on the quarterdeck for the Lexington, which was a carrier, is a carrier, but it's decommissioned now. And the captain is coming on board. And so your responsibility when you see the captain is you grab the bell and you ring it, ding, ding, and it echoes all over the boat, over the PA system, doom, doom. And then you say, USS Lexington arriving, and that means the captain just entered on the boat.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
And unless what I'm about to tell you is taking place. And so I'm freezing, man. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, everything's quiet. It's Norfolk. I imagine these big, huge ships all over the place. You know, we're just one little boat. What's the big deal, right?
Right.
And so it was just so, so cold, and nobody was moving. I couldn't find anybody anywhere. And I noticed the fan room. A fan room is sort of like your air conditioning, you know, where it sucks in the air or whatever like that and blows out certain air. Was the actual door of it was right there by the quarterdeck. And I thought, man, I wonder if, and I opened up this big hatch right there, this kind of hatch, and I cracked it a little bit, and all of a sudden this warm air just started blowing.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is so good. I'm sticking my hands in it. I got my back to the brow. I got my back to the place I'm watching. I'm doing my hands, and finally I said, listen, I'm going to open it all the way up. You're not supposed to do that because it's supposed to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got this big bright light. And so then, I'm getting the heat coming towards my, I turn around to my backside. I'm getting the heat. It's feeling so good. And then finally, I just kind of lean in some, you know, kind of basically sticking my butt in the bedroom. It's so cold.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, oh, this is so great. I'm thinking, man, it's already been 20 minutes. There ain't nothing happening. And besides, I can see the quarterdeck from this spot. I could go into the fan room and sit on this big pipe. I could see. It was right there. It was right smack dab there, right?
All right.
But there's one thing I didn't take into account.
Mm-hmm.
When I got warm and I'm sitting on this pipe, it's real good sleeping weather. I fell asleep.
Oh,
my goodness. Is that not terrible?
Oh, no.
And no, this is worse. It's way worse because the captains don't come on the boat at 3 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was at home with his wife or whatever. And the captain shows up.
Oh, no.
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I was sleeping.
Yeah, right.
He sticks his head in the fan room and he starts waking me up like, oh, my goodness, the captain.
Oh, no.
I got woke up by the captain of the boat, you know, and I'm sitting there sleeping in this fan room, you know. And but luckily, for my sake, that his wife just threw him out of his house. She was angry with him. He must have done something wrong. And he didn't.
No.
I was like, you know what I'm saying? I had mercy that night.
Oh, wow.
He was more upset at what had happened. And so it makes me think about this. It makes me think about when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and he was there and he asked his disciples to watch and pray. I'm going to go and spend time with the Father. And he comes back. When he comes back the first time, you know, all these powerful men of God, they were crashed out. They were asleep in the fan room, you know.
Oh, no.
They were asleep in the fan room.
Right.
And he comes back to him. He says, listen, couldn't you stay awake 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of them said, I told Peter to keep us awake if we fall asleep. You know, and sometimes it's like the hardest thing you're going to do as the day gets closer is to stay awake, on watch, and prayer, and alert. The American church is really, the predominant part of the church is a sleeping church. I'm excited for the day that it awakes.
Wakes up, yeah.
But it's going, you know, it's just thinking, you know, it's like, wake up! You know, you're sleeping in the fan room. And so Jesus says, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Mm. And you think about it, when you're trying to encourage people to pray and teach them, it's like, oh, I have to pray longer than 5 minutes. It's like, dude, if you have a relationship with somebody, you're going to talk longer to them than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was anguishing for mankind, and the disciples didn't stay awake. And this is what he tells us. He tells us in Matthew chapter 26, I believe it is, 41, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I just want to encourage you that, you know, when you're called to stand watch, and everyone is who's a believer, to be the watchman on the wall, to hear what God's saying and let other people know, that many things are going to come your way. You're going to be, your flesh is going to be screaming. It's cold. It's miserable. It's hard. It's all these different things are taking place. But then in that very moment, you have to remember that who's going to stand the watch? Who's going to be faithful? Who are going to be the faithful ones that warn God's people? He says, when I fashion a storm and I'm bringing the sword against my people, if you don't warn them, Ezekiel 17, if you don't warn them, he says, they will suffer for their own sins. And they will die because of it. He says, but you will have their blood on your hands. But if you're faithful and you warn them, then if they don't listen, then their blood's not on your hands. But understand this, they could listen and they could repent and the storm could stop. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you're getting near a fan room in your life and you're getting, you know, you're thinking your flesh just needs to take a break or whatever, don't listen to your flesh. Listen to the Lord. Stand strong. Well, we're ending our first hour today. Join us in the extra hours. We're going to be talking about the health care. They're talking about putting us in jail if we don't buy their health care plans. God bless, and we'll see you in the extra hour.